Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Together for Humanity is a multi-faith, not-for-profit organisation that's helping schools and organisations and communities around the country to respond effectively around the differences in culture that perhaps sometimes seem as barriers. We are about to speak with Rabbi Zalman Castell. Now, Zalman was raised in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish tradition in a radically divided area of Brooklyn City in New York. He saw the world through the lens of his absolute tradition, the rights and wrongs of his faith. In 2001, though, Zalman committed to connecting with Christians and Muslims at the start and then a much wider community, transforming many of his own perspectives on the world around him. And since then, he's connected with more than 75,000 young Australians to open their worlds up too. We began with, at first, his unease about the epithet ultra-Orthodox to describe his own childhood.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that the label is somewhat imprecise, but ultra-Orthodox, I guess, means that there are different grades of orthodoxy and integration into the modern world. And certainly the starting point for me was one-way integration. So the talks by our grand rabbi, Rabbi Schneerson, were sometimes televised, but we were extremely strongly discouraged from having televisions in our homes. In fact, I still don't have a TV in my home and didn't have one growing up to limit the influences of the outside world. I'm not sure what age I was when I first became aware of Martin Luther King Jr., for example, but he certainly wasn't a big part of my growing up in the 70s in the United States. So, yeah, the exposure to thought and philosophies other than our, and the one we were being raised in was extremely limited.
Zalman, what did those relationships look like when you did open the doors to connect with people who were worshipping and believing in a very different way to what you do?
The pivotal moment for me was a phone call from Joseph Sheridan, who recently passed away in 2001. To me, it was a phone call out of the blue. A Christian theology student, a layman who was studying some theology, wanted to discuss some questions about religion. And I found it quite bizarre, actually, that he would be making this phone call. But I sat down with him, thought I'd give him a couple of minutes and just to be polite. And I encountered a man who had profound altruism and passion and spirituality. He was very concerned about God's word or the place of God's word and God's message in his church and in society. To him, it felt like church was more about other things, I guess ritual, administration, money, whatever. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it certainly God's word, compassion, was not big on the radar for him, and he was hoping that a Jewish man might be able to enlighten him. But in fact, it was the other way around. I didn't have any answers for him, but I was very moved by his question.
For many, there could be a real sense of jeopardy, Zalman, in connecting across faith or societies like you're doing. What's the future of a relationship like ours when we have so little in common? What if I say something to upset you? I breach some kind of social protocol. Did this ever happen for you?
Yeah. One of the sort of humorous moments was we had a sheikh, another Muslim family coming to us for dinner on a Sunday night, and my wife was preparing this dessert of oranges that my mother-in-law had served the day before on the Sabbath, and which had some leftovers, and my wife was busy cutting in some more oranges and, you know, sort of recycling the dessert. Yeah. And I just stopped and said, what was the sauce? What was that made out of? And there was rum in there, so that wasn't going to work. We had this was in Alice, and we had this program planned for also for local schools and local Arrernte people. We had to go and do the program. And I show up for the meeting And I'm sitting in the meeting and just helping everyone get oriented, and this is what's going to happen. And we're all chatting away happily, but the person that we had organized to be there just wasn't there. We'll call her Rachel. And where's Rachel? There was somebody else there at the table who actually was quite introverted. She was an artist, a visual artist, painter, whatever. But she actually was introverted, and she wasn't going to cut it. And Rachel, who was a teacher, we'd organized for her to be there for the week, just wasn't in the room. And I'm looking, what happened to her? So I get, I'm clearly oblivious to whatever local dynamics. I get on my mobile phone, call the place that I organized with, and they said, do you still want her? Well, that was an odd question. But not seeing the handwriting on the wall, so to speak, I said, sure we do. Yeah, absolutely. So she said, she'll be down there in a few minutes. As she walks into the room turns to ice. Heather Lawton, who is helping us coordinate, and Heather is extremely well versed in both worlds. I asked her to explain to me what was going on, and essentially she said, look, the elder, she's not going to be here forever. She wants to give some leadership skills to her quiet artist daughter, and she thought this is a perfect opportunity. You're a white guy from Sydney in a suit. You've just decided to completely turn her plans upside down and bring someone else in. It's not working well.
Oh, man. That is awkward.
So it was a lot of backpedaling. But the thing was that I had learned through the process. There was someone, an old hand in all of this, where it lives in Adelaide, and she had said to me once, Zalman, you're not listening. And I just went back to that and was, is this a Zalman, you're not listening moment?
Yeah.
And thought it probably is. So, I took a step back and was able to look at it from the other person's perspective, really see it from their eyes, but also come back and respect my own principles. I still had made commitments to schools, and I had to honor those commitments. We found a way to honor both commitments, and the idea was that both women, we'd have the quiet lady plus one other person, and we'd pay them both for their time. And in the end, that the quiet one just withdrew. She realized it wasn't for her, and after the first day, she could see that this wasn't an opportunity for her. It was just a waste of time. It was that capacity to see things through other people's eyes and think cross-culturally, I guess.
You've referenced the Together for Humanity program there, and we'll get to that in a moment, Zalman. But first, let's stay in the relationship space for a tick longer. What do we do when we're building relationships with people with whom we have so little in common, and yet the idea is to build relationship? Where do we start? Where did you start?
I think it's about taking a step back and looking at the whole picture. So, rather than saying, look, we've hit a wall here, so let's just give up, it's saying, okay, there's a wall here, and then there's a way around the wall. So I've got a very good friend who is a religious leader. I've had breakfast with him on many occasions. He's got massive portraits of Ayatollah Khomeini on his wall, who he sees as a great spiritual leader. I've never asked him about Ayatollah Khomeini. I think the pictures on the wall tell me enough about what he thinks.
Yeah.
And I don't know that much about Ayatollah Khomeini apart from news reports and whatnot. But it's probably not. I don't see that as likely to be a very fruitful conversation. And so we leave it be. I mean, the other one is, and this wasn't so much confronting as much as just fun. We were talking to a group of students in Perth, they were older students, and I thought, we'll try something different. And I turned to my Christian co-presenter, and I said, I've got a question for you. And this is a guy, first time I worked with him, but he was quite experienced in youth work and all that. You know, as a Jew, when I read the Sermon on the Mount, what I hear Jesus saying is, look, there's this old model, if you think in computer terms, it's a 386 or a 486 or whatever. I've got the Pentium 3,
yeah.
Judaism has been superseded. I asked the Christian presenter, do you see it that way? Do you see? And he honestly answered and said, yes, because if he didn't see it that way, he'd be Jewish, which is a fair enough answer,
Great answer.
Yeah. So we don't always need common ground. I think we do need to respect difference. I mean, the other day, it was yesterday, actually, I was working with some Muslim kids. kids. And one of the boys thought it'd be funny to try and get me to say the Shahada.
Yeah.
And he said, just repeat after me, you know, just say this. And I said, I don't really know the meaning of the words. Tell me a bit more about this. And then one of the other boys said, you know, this has to be said with intention and this, that, and the other. I said, well, you know, I'm not going to say it because it's not my religion. But if I did say it, I wouldn't say it with the intention anyway. So, yeah. You know, what benefit would it have? And I think these boys need to learn that, yes, of course, that's their belief. But they've got to accept that that belief is not shared and there's nothing they can do about it.
Let's talk further about those kids then, Zalman, in the Together for Humanity program that you run in schools. What's the process? Because from the outside, it seems quite shocking for some and certainly countercultural to a certain extent in the truest sense of the word.
I guess you could say that. Yeah, that's right. We're giving young people an opportunity to interact with people that they probably would not interact with otherwise. So, and in some cases, it's about the least likely. I mean, that certainly adds an edge to it. But sometimes it's just about we have roots within faith. We're inclusive, but we do have roots within faith, and we don't shy away from bringing a Muslim, a Christian, and a Jew into a school, and that could be confronting for some because some people don't want to talk about difference of belief. They think it's too controversial and dangerous.
Yeah.
So there are a few different activities that we do. One is a short program for a large group, about an hour. We call it Out of the Box, and we'll have an outsider's box, which sort of looks like a brick veneer, kind of a brick wall, and we'll talk about insiders and outsiders. We'll ask the kids to guess which of us is Australian. We'll do a little exercise to a values clarification. How strongly do you feel about forgiveness? On a scale from 1 to 10, if 10 is if you're absolutely for forgiveness, you will forgive anyone. It's just sort of like that love your enemies idea.
Yeah.
If you will always hold a grudge, you're on number one, or where are you along that continuum? And where are the presenters? To what extent are Jews, Christians, and Muslims, or at least the Jew, Christian, and Muslim you have in your school today, similar or different to each other and to the student? So those are one kind of exercises. We'll also sometimes bring students in contact with their peers. So Cronulla High School is currently involved with an exchange with Granville Boys High School, some Jewish and Muslim schools around Sydney. So various schools that where the students are interacting with their peers, again, that they would be unlikely to interact with otherwise. We do some stuff with teachers, and we also have an online resource that is being used. We're close to 500,000 hits all around the country, where the same kind of message is done, but it's very much integrated into English history, geography, civics and citizenship in the classroom. So that's another way of reaching students.
And what are the after effects? What's been the response after you've left these programs or the schools behind? And what good has come out of these interactions, Zalman?
Yeah, a deep shift for some students in the way that they think about difference. So, it's one thing to be told by teachers that discrimination is bad. It's another thing to be intentionally interacting with the other. And we talked to some people who've been involved in the program years, in its earliest stages in 2002, and now they're young adults, and they still remember it, and it's made a strong impression, or it's had an influence on the way that they continue to think about difference of culture or belief. Some young people that we worked with 20 years ago actually now are volunteering with us and actually going out to schools to teach the next generation.
Zalman, there'll be some listening to this conversation and hearing it as a kind of sermon on universality, that everything's okay when it comes to faith. But the truth is, we all believe there are rights and wrongs, that we are different. Surely you believe that too.
Yeah, I think that the differences are extremely important. And I've been accused of hypocrisy on radio because I won't encourage my children to intermarry, for example. I do think that marrying within one's own faith, in terms of my faith, is very important being able to practice Judaism properly. And I think that would be true for various faiths. In terms of the audience, what I'm suggesting is that, by all means, stay completely true to yourself. And like the Christian man that I work with in Perth, who said, he does see Christianity as an improvement over Judaism. Whether he sees it as completely superseding or not is a longer discussion. But he sees his particular religious path as being very valuable, and that is to be respected and celebrated. And No one needs to apologize for that. No one needs to pretend that their belief or their way of life, their principles are somehow different to the way they are because someone else might not like it. No, it's not that at all. What I'm saying is that while we can be absolutely firm in our own traditions, as I am, I haven't changed my practice in any significant way. I don't fast on Ramadan. I don't go to church on Sunday. I'm still very much a Jewish man in terms of my practice, and I have very, very deep friendships and very strong admiration for Christians and Muslims. And I guess, look, the only risk I would say, if it is risk, is that in doing that, it is a bit hard to separate people's faith from the person. So my attitude to Christianity or Islam is different now than it might have been if I had never met a Christian. I was going to think of the Jesus of Jared, Jared McKenna, the pastor. Yeah. Jared McKenna you had on the other day.
Yeah.
And that's a recognition of the way that Christianity is lived in his life in terms of his choice to stand with the oppressed. For a long time, he lived in the poorest part of Perth, among the poor or the lower class or potential criminals or whatever it is, and because he really believed that. Now, that's a very different proposition to some kind of theological formulation about the Trinity. This is about a man in whom God's word is living in the most admirable way. So, yeah, I mean, if someone is afraid of that, if someone is afraid of meeting a Muslim or a Christian or a Buddhist or whatever, and being able to see them as a beautiful, full, altruistic, shining soul, then stay away from this. But if you're not afraid of that, we don't get infected from other people's beliefs, I don't think, unless we don't understand our own, in which case, that's a different proposition. But people who do have a strong grounding in their own faith, have a strong understanding of why they believe what they do, interacting with other people, I think, enriches one's spirituality.
Rabbi Zalman Castell, it's been an enjoyable conversation. Thank you so much for journeying with us on our discrimination series through Open House around Australia, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it as well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.